Well, I look sharp because Natalie told me once I wore this tie, and she says, I really like that tie. So, I thought of you, Natalie, when I wore it. Okay. Before we get started, I got this jacket here, this Cal jacket. Jackets come to me. I just took 17 jackets to the mission, but I held this one out. And I thought, now, who should I give this to? And the first person I thought of was Scott, but I've already given him two jackets. And then I thought of Luke, and I said, he went to Cal, and I said, but Luke's from Northern California. This is more of a Southern California look. A little Southern California look. And then I thought of Ricky from the Central Valley, but this is the wrong size. And then it came to me. I thought about you, too. I thought you popped into my mind. But then it came to me. This is for a guy who went to Cal, but not in Berkeley, but he's always around. He's everywhere. He's in Berkeley. He's in Albany. He's in Richmond. This is for you, Greg. Yeah. Next time we go to the Bears basketball game, you're ready to go. Extra large.
Go Bears.
Go Bears. It's an extra large. It might be a little long in the arms, but you can slide them up a little bit. But it should fit you. Yeah, try it on. Yeah. I thought about Albert, but he's in Hong Kong, so it's too bad.
While Greg is trying on the jacket, I just want to mention that I think we've had a refinery event overnight. My car's covered with ash, and other people have said that. And when I took my dog up on the hill this morning, you could really see it. This horrid brown cloud over the refinery in the bay.
It's over Richmond.
Yeah. So it's also kind of, it's making me feel a little hot, but it's not hot. Anyway. So we closed the door, just left an inch for some air. It doesn't matter where you are because it's here. But I just wanted to let you know, in case that affected you, you could seek help.
I just want to see if the jacket works. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I just want to see if the jacket works.
Yeah.
Can I just test it real quick?
Nice.
Ready?
Go!
Go! Go! Go! Go! Looks good on you. Kid from Santa Ana, man. That was really good. That was good. Well, Marcia and I usually do expository preaching. And for those people, I know everybody knows what it is, but for those people who don't know, it means that you take a word of the scripture, you read a chapter or a bit of it, and then you explain what the Bible says, what it means, and then you can take it and turn it what it might mean to the audience. And this is sort of what I always do. I didn't even know what it was until I happened to read it one time, because this is definitely not a lecture. If it was a lecture and you're in college, we'd have it all set up, and most of us in here have been to university or college or schooling where you get the lectures, and it's the same lecture all the time and all the time. But with the Word of God, it just changes. And the way the Lord speaks to Marsh and I, out of a courtesy, and I tried to explain this to Susan, by Wednesday, you give the title, and this title was tough for me. Ears to Hear, and I kept reading this, and we had all kinds of things we're talking about, and I'm just sitting there praying, and I said, okay, Lord, ears to hear. And we're going to pray that the Lord is going to reveal to you what the meaning of this story is. And then on Friday, we're supposed to present an outline, and I told Susan, I said, you know, we really don't have it, because the Lord always makes me wait to the last minute. And I asked him about that one time. I got really frustrated, and I was writing my notes, and it was the morning of when I was going to preach someplace, and I finally said, Lord, why do you always make me wait to the last minute? And he said, because you made me wait to the last minute. Because all the times I was invited to come in the kingdom, I would turn my head and I'd walk away. And I knew that he was drawing me in or drawing me back, but I had to have more of my prodigal life. And so therefore, This morning I'm sitting here, and as we're going to read this John chapter 5, verses 1 through 18? 15, thank you, 1 through 15. Are you going to put that up on there? And what I've asked Scott and Greg to come and we're interact. I got this morning during Ricky's worship. And what it is, I'm going to be John telling the story. Greg is going to be, it's right here, so just stand up, face, we'll just move that microphone around. We'll move the microphone. Greg is going to be the man who keeps coming. And we'll read the story. Most of us know the story. The man healed at the pool of Bethesda. And Scott is going to take the role of Jesus. So starting in verse 1, and we might want to look up there. Oh, you got it? And you guys got it over there? Okay, I'll read it from here. Something went wrong here. Okay. That's good. Yes. Yeah. This is Levi. How about that? We'll give him a name. This is Levi. He's been at the pool for 38 years. And figure, Jesus, how old is Jesus at this time? 31? Yeah, it's chapter 5, so it's got to be early in his career. And so probably when he was 12 years old and he came, we read about how he came to Jerusalem when he was 12. He probably saw Levi over by the pool waiting. And of course, Scott's going to be our 31-year-old Jesus as he comes to it. Is it ready? No, I'm June, John. Okay. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, he said to him,
"Do you want to get well?"
The sick man answered him,
"How can I? Every time I try to go to the pool, somebody gets there before me." I don't know what the rest of the words are.
And Jesus said to him,
"Get up, take your mat, and walk."
And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath." You're not done, buddy. I should say Jesus. "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." And Levi answered them and said,
"He who made me well was the one who said to me."
What did he say to him?
You're supposed to say.
No, it's in red. It's on red here.
Oh, okay. My Bible wasn't red.
"Take up." He said to me,
"Get up, pick up your mat, and walk."
Then they asked him, "Who is this man that said to you?"
"Who is this man that said to you?"
"Pick up your pallet and walk."
But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him,
we have different versions, "Behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you."
The man departed and told the Jews that it was...
It was Jesus who had made him well. Jesus made me well.
Amen. All right. Very good. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Now, there were several things, and a few things popped out at me in this story. One is the question, do you want to be made well? The second one was the reasons why he could not be made well. And the third part was the very last one, where he says, see, you have been made well, sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. And I'm going to talk about these a little bit later, but I think that this is a good time to... The thing I admired about this guy, even though he had reasons why he could not be made well, he continued to show up. He continued to come. He was there. He kept coming back every Sunday, every day. It's like us coming to church. Sometimes we're waiting to be healed. We're waiting for changes to take place. And we could stop coming, but we just continue to pursue the Lord, because one day he's going to speak to you and ask you the question, do you want to be made well? So, Marcia?
Thank you. I'm going to try to give you a 10-year story in 10 minutes, so we'll see how well I do. One thing I don't talk about much, and maybe you may not know about me, is that 10 years ago, I got what I thought was an ear infection. The next day, I went to the doctor, and I was there for a while, and finally when the doctor came back to me, I could tell it wasn't going to be good. And immediately I felt this rock-hard faith overtake me. And the doctor came in and said, Mrs. Scott, I'm sorry to tell you, you have had a virus and you've lost 90% of the hearing in your left ear, and it's not coming back. And I turned, and what came out of my mouth was, I'm waiting for the Lord to heal me. That I've never, ever said that to a doctor, before or since. But that's what came out. But it was because I was feeling this rock. And they talked about, because I'm a teacher, ultimately, I ended up getting a relay hearing aid that transfers all the sound from here to the hearing ear. It doesn't work that well. And it has drawbacks, this hearing loss. One is, in a room full of people who are talking, I can't hear at all. So sometimes, like if we're having a party and I'm looking at you and nodding, it's because I'm trying to read your lips, but I'm not that good at it. The other thing is that loud sound, I have no screen for loud sound. And that's why, and I ask you to forgive me if I have appeared a poor example to you, but that's why I'm often walking in a little later. When we went to church in San Francisco, I used to have to go outside during worship because the electric sound pierces my head. So, but through all these 10 years, I have waited, and with certainty, no doubt, that the Lord was going to heal my hearing. And we have talked about, since I came to this church, since I had your love and support and goodness and kindness, I began to hear the Holy Spirit on my walks. So about a year ago, I heard from the Holy Spirit that I was going to receive a gift. And immediately, I'm ashamed to say, I thought, oh, we're going to get a bunch of money, thinking in world terms, because we're we're transitioning. I think of all the ways that would be helpful. But a couple months went by, and then on another listening walk, the Holy Spirit said, it's this increase in your ability to hear me. And I was so excited by that, because I'd rather have that than money. I'd rather have that than almost anything. It's made such a difference for me. And it didn't start until I came here. So I know it's related to you, to the body that is here. So I was very happy and the walks continue, and then I guess it was about a few weeks ago. I'm on a walk and I say to the Lord, I know that you are healing my hearing. I still have that rock hard faith, and I believe that I'm going to be healed. And right away, I got an answer from the Holy Spirit, and it was, what's the matter? You're not hearing me now? And it was like somebody shook me. I thought, of course, a gift from God would not be from the mortal world. It would be divine. It would be heavenly. So that I realized the faith that had been so strong within me about my hearing had actually converted my hearing to hearing in the spirit instead of hearing in the flesh. And I'm still very excited by that, and I do it twice a day as much as I can. But then it came to me, what's the difference between that faith that was so unshakable all those years and the other faith I feel about different things that happen? So Robert and I talked about it. I walked, I asked, I prayed about it. And a few days later, I began to feel the answer coming towards me like a freight train. I've never had an answer come to me with so much power behind it. And I waited. It didn't come through. I made the whole walk. It didn't come through. I got in the car to drive home. Nothing. I came home. I waited. Nothing. But all this time, I felt it coming. And then I did the one thing that I would normally think would stop the Holy Spirit. I turned on the television for a minute, and it came through. And this was the answer. There is a difference between man's faith and divine faith. All of the gifts of the Spirit have a human version and a divine version. And in my Bible studies at the moment, I've been reading Colossians, Philippians, Corinthians, and throughout, Paul continues to say, the kingdom has power. And so this story to me relates to this man in John 5. Because the faith that I had in this case was divine faith. But this man, I believe, has man's faith. And it leaves him for 38 years waiting until Jesus shows up. Jesus is the one bringing divine power to all of us. And he's instantly healed. And so I'm praying about this now as I walk, as I listen. How do we access more of the divine gifts? Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with man's faith, man's kindness, goodness, patience, truth, forgiveness. All of those are good qualities, but they lack power. And I'm going to give you another example. A few weeks ago, you were talking about forgiveness. And in the midst of it, I made a confession to you about my own unforgiveness of a family member that had gone on for years and years. And that confession to you resulted in divine forgiveness, and my unforgiveness was gone. And I was able to share that with you. We have used this in our prayer ministries, mainly based on listening for the Holy Spirit and on James 5:16, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. That's the power. So when you are caught in a situation and it seems to be going on and on, I now believe that's the answer to us. We begin to pray for divine power, for the divine part of forgiveness, patience, whatever it is that is hanging us up, healing. It's that peace that we need in order to change the situation. My confession to you changed my heart, and the unforgiveness was, I was delivered from it. And I think this man is an example of this. We also have a further, just a minute. I think these fumes are affecting me a little more than they normally do, so make sure I didn't run over anything. Christian faith is actually a faith of duality. We are half-breeds. One half of our family tree is divine. The other half of every one of us, believers, the other half of our family tree is flesh. And we're in the middle. And we're trying to cope with what happens to the flesh, the shell, maintaining our belief in God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, in the divine. It's a tricky spot. Wine represents blood. Bread represents the body. You see the duality in Scripture as well. It's so amazing to me that the Israelites kept records for thousands of years of a relationship with a deity that was invisible, immortal, I mean, completely the opposite of themselves. But what I also want to say is, according to Galatians 4:2-4, we are the heirs. Paul says we are, as believers, the heirs of divine power and access to the divine. So we can ask for it. Now, Robert and I have witnessed it in the prayer ministry, particularly with confession. When people confess something according to, as James describes, we have witnessed healing. And shortly after I had been through this experience I'm talking about, we were asked to be speakers for Open Door Church at Alliance Redwoods. And we were the Saturday night speakers, and they had already been through a couple of days of retreat, and their subject was the Holy Spirit. So we shared our testimonies, and I shared about listening. At the end of our teaching, Robert excused the group to go outside for a bonfire, and we looked out and no one moved. They all stood there. And they stood there with their hands out. So Robert walked out towards them and began to pray for individual people. And because he had asked me, I did too. And I have never received so many exact words for people as I did that Saturday evening. One girl, later we heard a little bit of testimony at the bonfire, and one girl stood up and said, "Have you been talking to my mother?" Because what had come through for her. But it's always the same. It isn't that we have control over this. It just is little bits at a time. So I would get a word, and I would ask the person, like, are you struggling with a job? And they would give me an answer. And I would listen. I would get another word. I would ask sort of about. But it's the Holy Spirit who chooses the time, like the man. Not everybody there at the pool is healed. That man was healed. The Holy Spirit chooses. In a lot of ways, I feel like an echo. You know, I'm just listening and giving the words out. It's something I'm very honored to participate in with you, because you open the door for me. So I want to thank you. And Robert's going to bring this home for us.
Well, I maybe come back again, but thank you, Marcia. And Marcia's talking about confession and the power of confession and how it works. Let me give an example of what happened Wednesday. I met with the triad of Patrick and Dan and Tim, and Luke was there. And I was having a bad day on Wednesday. I had my pastor's meeting in the morning, prayer meeting. I went in, I had nothing to say, which is unusual for me. But I sit there and almost thinking, you know, I don't even think I'm going to come back here again. You know, just like you guys are talking about things and going on and on. Then I was invited to go to coffee with a couple of the guys, and I went there, and the same thing. Whatever I wanted to say, it just didn't seem to fit. And I just started feeling bad for the whole day, just like, I don't want to do this stuff anymore. I don't think, you know, I'm gonna change my name and get on a Greyhound bus and go to Hong Kong. You know, whatever it is. I know. So we go to Nations, and while we're there, we're talking about different things. And so here's four men sitting there, men that, God, they're always respecting me and always saying nice things to me and want to know what I have to say. And I told them about how I was feeling. And I even brought up this part about, you know, it's sort of like, leaders don't do this. Leaders don't talk to the people that are looking to them for guidance and tell them about how empty they are. And I think they should do that. I think of Swaggart, the one that fell in because of sex, and he was one of the most powerful preachers in America. I believe that if he would have told his church what was going on, they would have prayed for him and never would have went through that. But he didn't dare tell them, because if you tell the people who are looking to you for leadership that you're struggling, they'll say, well, we don't need him to lead us. We need somebody who's perfect. We need somebody who's really good, that doesn't make any mistakes. That man or that woman does not exist. They're not there. So I tell them this, and they just all encouraged. They prayed for me. That night, I was going to email this to you guys. That night, in the morning, I'm laying there, and all of a sudden, just like a convulsion hits me. You ever got the flu sometimes where all of a sudden you get twisted up, you start getting dizzy, and you know you're going to throw up? That's how I felt. It just hit me. I says, God, I'm getting sick. And so I just started praying. And as I prayed, the feeling left me. When I woke up in the morning, I felt much different. It's almost like the enemy had sent a demon to attack me or something. And in my confession to my brothers and Evan, I became delivered. I just felt different. This thing, I just felt encouraged. I felt stronger. I felt more of knowing who I am. And it's something that's for all of us. Is in that. If you can have the opportunity to tell people about how you honestly feel and then have them pray for you, you're guaranteed healing. That's the word of God. That comes into it. So that's the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of man? Well, in our reading here and in the acting out, it was really good when Jesus speaks to him and says, and I talked a little bit about this. Jesus has been around. This guy been laying there for 38 years. And you start wondering about it. He's laying there, and they ask him, Jesus asks him the question, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? So it's up to him. And the sick man answered, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. He starts talking about this. Now, I know my stepmother, God bless her, but she was at a retirement home in Oregon, and they finally asked her to leave because she kept calling the ambulance. When she was here, she was getting sick all the time. We were always going to Alta Bates. I mean, she was always having problems. My dad would be standing up there with her after my dad passed away. And my stepbrother sort of got rid of her because he couldn't handle her needs. She needed to be loved. She needed to be touched. There was a time when I used to visit her once a week. I was going to, I was leaving Cal, and I had another class in my ministry over in San Francisco. I'd go by there. She'd always have me something to eat, and we'd laugh and talk, and I'd say a little prayer for her. And it was really good. She was very happy. But after my schedule changed and I had an opportunity to visit with her, then little by little she got into depression. But she always wanted to go to the hospital. She always wanted to be ministered to. And that can happen. I'm sure that don't we've known people in our life, every time you talk to them, they've got something wrong with them, and whatever it is, and you pour out your heart, but after a while you get tired of going around them because they're always complaining, always complaining. We used to call it in the bar the black hole. And certain guys would come in and always talking, how you doing? And they'd tell me every negative thing. And I remember this one guy who was a psychiatrist, came in. He was a psychiatrist. And I told him, I said, you know, I could never say anything that you agree with positively. And he says, I do that? I said, yeah, I'll come up and ask you something. You tell me something bad, I try to point out something good about it. And you, oh, no, no, you take another reason to make it bad, make it bad, make it bad. This is called self-pity. This is what the enemy uses. This is the kingdom of man, and God, and Satan has all power over the kingdom of man. He can give you thoughts. He can change your mind, make you fearful, all these different things, all these different reasons why we cannot step out boldly like we've been equipped to do in the kingdom of God. We've been equipped to step out boldly with the things that we say, to step through doors that we're afraid to go through, to go on the attack when we say, I don't know what I'm going to do. The Lord says, go for it. Step forward in faith. And to me, in my studies of the New Testament, I've always seen, I came to believe that the unforgivable sin is unbelief. You don't believe in what Jesus has done. Jesus, I can do all things. I can do this. If you believe. If you can't believe, this is sin. We're not asked to do all these things. We're not asked to keep the Ten Commandments. We're asked to believe that Jesus Christ kept the Ten Commandments. And when in our walk we find ourselves failing to keep the commandment, that we can claim the grace of God. And it's a gift through faith. That's what we preached, and that was the gift that people put their hands out for at the Alliance Redwood, is that God would give them faith, because Divine faith comes as a gift from God. Faith by man, that just evaporates quickly. But divine faith means that we have no other opportunity. We can't leave Jesus because we know without him we have no life. We have no future. Our only hope is in Jesus Christ. So I thought about this guy, and I could have written this. The Lord has given me this mind to write backstories. That's why I think that I've been a really good script writer in Hollywood, because I could see this man's life. It said for 38 years he was crippled. Okay, and then that's it. What happened to those 38 years? 38 years is a long time. Let's see, anybody here under 38? Look! A lot's happened in your life, right, brother? A lot happened to him. So I could talk more and more about his feeling sorry for himself, but he had no other choice. I had, in my mind, I saw him. He had a guy next to him. They used to lay on their pallets next to each other, became really good friends. Maybe it was a relative or a close friend. And the man Levi, I named him Levi because I like to give him a name. Levi had a woman that was an old friend of his, and she used to come and bring food and stuff to him and the guy laying on the pallet next to him. And one day they're laying there, and I named her Rebecca. Rebecca comes and brings things and always brings wine for them and makes sure everything's fine with them. And then one day Rebecca leaves, and him and Levi and his friend are laying there, and all of a sudden Levi, nobody notices it, but he sees a stirring in the water, and nobody else has seen it. And he says, oh my God, nobody else has seen it. So he starts getting up out of his pallet, starts walking, and as he starts walking, the guy next to him can walk a little bit better. But he says, Levi's walking. There must be something there. And just as Levi's getting ready to step in the pool, his buddy cuts in front of him and falls in the pool. His buddy comes out, hallelujah, I've been healed. I've been healed. And Levi's in, but I was going to go there. And his buddy says, don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow. I'll come back and help you, and we'll keep our eye out. So sure enough, the next day, Levi's laying there. His buddy comes up and looking really good. Now he can walk. He looks like Patrick, who's always is the picture of health. I love Patrick, though, how good he looks. And when I get as old as him, I hope I look as good as he is. And so his buddy comes up, and all of a sudden Rebecca shows up. And they're talking, and his buddy says to Rebecca, let me take you to lunch. And so they leave, and they leave Levi there. And they never come back. They never come back. Every day he's waiting for Rebecca and his buddy to come back. They never come back. And he hears later that they got married and he moved to Seattle or something like that. No, one of those other towns. And I thought Philippi, that's the name I had. He moved to Philippi and Macedonia, which was really a nice place to live. And I thought about the reasons for him to feel sorry for himself. And to feel sorry for ourselves are legitimate feelings. These young people in school going up, it's so difficult to get through school. And all of us have been there. We know how hard it is with peer pressure and what people expect of us and those kind of things. It's difficult. And then as parents, as we're looking to our children, trying to get them up, it's really hard. It's not easy. And we have every reason. So at the end, he says, afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. What was his sin? He says, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. What was the sin of the man at the pool? Unbelief. And how did he express that unbelief? Self-pity and complaints. So it's almost like if you start complaining again, that you're going to get crippled again. You start looking for it. You have to be able to trust and give thanks. We preach this over and over. And everybody else, you guys all do the same thing, is you give thanks for what God has given you and not say, I haven't got this or I haven't got that. So, Marcia?
Today is a communion Sunday, clearly, And as we begin it, I want to encourage you again to just whisper these things like self-pity or judgment or unforgiveness or whatever. Things from the world. What they do is what they did to the man who waited for 38 years is they keep you, they cripple you and keep you from the pool. They keep you from reaching what the Lord has for you. They prevent, like in my case, that unforgiveness was locked up my heart for years and years. It sort of lay there. Those are bits of darkness that I believe actually repel the Holy Spirit, like the reverse of a magnet. So you don't receive what God has for you. That's the importance. So as we go through the communion, again, I want to encourage you, and we'll take a minute before, keep the elements with you, and right before we eat the bread and drink the wine, grape juice, we'll take a moment to whisper confession, because speaking it out is, as James says, is an essential part of accessing divine forgiveness. And that's our chance to get rid of it. This is it. This is your best chance. So we're going to
When that time comes,
proceed.
That's good. Thank you, honey. Yeah, we're going to do that. But before we do it, I want to say one last thing here. One last thing to this body, to this family that's here. Everyone, every man and woman that's been drawn here, God is here. God is here, and he's doing something here. You are a group of people that are leaders. God's called all of you. Young people, older people, seniors, have the wisdom. You're all leaders here. And in my time of depression before the guys prayed for me, I was there and I said to the Lord, I said, you know, I just can't do this. I'm having a difficult time. I didn't want to do my devotions in the morning. I just want to get on and read the sports section. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about, whatever it is. I just didn't want to do those things that I was doing. And then I apologized to the Lord, and all of a sudden, this melody started going through my mind. And I says, what is this melody? This song. And I'd asked the Lord that day for a song. I haven't written a song in a while. I said, Lord, I want you to give me a song. And this melody starts going through my mind. I says, what is that? I said, I think it's from the movie Grease. And I said, that's the one that blonde gal from Australia sang. So I said, Marcia, what's that blonde girl from Australia? She says, Olivia Newton-John. And I said, yeah. So I go to Echo and I says, Echo, play the song from Olivia Newton-John from Grease. And then Alexa comes back. She started playing the soundtrack. So I heard the first one and I said, no, skip. I got to the fourth song. And she starts singing this song. And the name of it is Hopelessly Devoted to You. Hopelessly devoted to you. And as I listen to the words, I'm thinking, I'm hearing this woman pouring out her heart, telling this guy that even when he doesn't love her, she's not going to give up. Even though he seems to be liking somebody else, she's hopelessly devoted to him. And all of a sudden I realized it was God speaking to me. It was Jesus Christ speaking to us. He is hopelessly devoted to us. He's never going to leave us. He wants to give us his love all the time, pouring it out upon us. Amen. He wants to give us healing. He wants to give us peace. He wants to give us freedom from everything, physical pain, unforgiveness, all of the things that bind us up. So that's what we're going to do today. As we take communion, we're going to surrender this, because God says, do you want to be healed? That's the question he's asking us. So let's everybody stand up. And starting with the back, come forward and take the condiments. Thank you, Angela. In Corinthians, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" I'm read the whole thing, and then we'll do it. "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so do let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Pretty heavy words. So I want you to take a minute, 30 seconds, and the Lord says, "How can I heal you?" The areas in your life that you find yourself feeling sorry for yourself, give it to him. Come, Holy Spirit, touch us. Said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." "Take this cup. It is the new covenant in my blood. This do often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So in Jesus' name, and the power he has in our lives, and the power of the kingdom of God, just receive peace in your life, in your mind, knowing that this is a new day, that you've been set free. Go in remembrance of him, giving him the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.